This is a true story taken from an actual medical file.
We all feel that we live under some kind of tension in this modern world. And with these external pressures, we can usually cope quite adequately. But for those suffering from hypertension, the medical term for continuous high blood pressure, something more than willpower is needed to enable them to live a normal life. Now, thanks to recent discoveries, in many cases, it's possible for hypertension sufferers to lead normal, active lives with their condition kept under control. Let me outline a recent case history in a story I'll call Living Under Pressure.
Medical File. Factual stories of the men and women whose vigilance guards our lives. A reconstruction of clinical case histories, step by step with the doctors who were there. Medical File.
Seem to be in high spirits, huh?
Yes, Morris, and a good thing, too. The war is far from over yet. In the 3 years since Dunkirk, we're only now beginning to see the turn of the tide.
Well, I'm glad that I'm in time to join the army and do a little bit to help, sir.
And we certainly need men with your outlook, Morris. Now, let's get back to your file. You are Peter Morris, aged 23, news reporter.
That's right, Captain Gregory.
Well, I should imagine that you're having a fairly exciting war already. You know, reporting on the raids and so on.
Well, it does get a bit exciting at times, eh? Covering the blitzes and a bit of shelling along the Dover coast by the long-range guns on the other side of the channel.
Then, why do you want to join the army?
Oh, I feel that wartime news reporting is a bit restricted, what with censorship and shortage of newsprint. I want to do a bit more positive a job. Something that will directly help the war effort.
I see. Well, I don't think you need have any feeling that your job isn't useful. Even vital, Morris. The nation has to be kept informed, and at a time like this, how it's done has a great importance.
It's a war job of a kind, sir, but I feel that the chaps in the desert and Burma and so on are doing a definite job in ending the war. I'd like to help, that's all.
Well, I think that at this stage of the war, everyone is doing the best he or she can, you know, to help things along. But now tell me, Morris, how have you been feeling for the past year or two?
Fine, thank you, sir. Very fit.
Well, that's something, then. If you take reasonable care, watch your diet and so on, you shouldn't do too badly.
But that will hardly be possible in the army, will it, Captain Gregory?
That won't apply to you, I'm afraid, Morris. We can't accept you for the army.
Why not, sir? Haven't I passed my medical examination?
I'm sorry, Morris. I'm afraid not. I have reports from all the medical panel here, and most of them are quite satisfactory. But you're suffering from hypertension. High blood pressure, in other words. And I'm afraid we must reject you for the services.
Well, perhaps there's been a mistake. Couldn't they test me for that again, Doctor?
I'm sorry. You were given a second independent test, and your blood pressure reading was the same for both of them. I'm afraid you'll just have to forget about the armed forces and go on doing your civilian job as well as you possibly can.
Well, that is a bit of a blow. But what effect is this hypertension likely to have on me, sir?
Very little at your age, Morris. See your own doctor when you get home. I'll give you a brief note on the results of our tests. And do what he tells you. He'll probably put you onto a diet and advise you about your daily activities. But apart from that, you can go on doing your bit for the war effort, even if it's not overseas with the army.
Thank you for seeing me, Dr. Hoffman. About my husband, Peter, I've been so worried.
Yes, of course you have, Mrs. Morris. So it's a particular pleasure for me to be able to tell you that your husband will be quite all right. Well, after all, he's only in early middle age. And I'm sure we're going to be able to do a lot for him.
Yes, sir, Doctor, it was terrible to see a man of his years struck down, one side paralyzed like that?
Naturally, it was very distressing for you, Mrs. Morris, but that's quite the usual effect of a stroke, you know. Paralysis of one side of the body, dependent upon which part of the brain was affected when the blood vessel burst.
But will it have a permanent effect, Dr. Hoffman?
Well, it's early days yet, Mrs. Morris, but we hope not. In fact, I can hold out every hope of a good recovery for your husband. Certainly, his condition hasn't worsened since we've had him under our care.
Oh, thank heaven for that. This was such a shock for me. Well, to us both, of course. What caused it, do you think?
Hypertension, Mrs. Morris. High blood pressure. Dangerously high in your husband's case. Tell me, has he been under a doctor at all?
No, Dr. Hoffman. I think he only had a doctor once during the time we were married, and that was for flu, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But I believe he'd been seeing a doctor at about the time I met him during the last year or two of the war.
I see. When was that, Mrs. Morris? Do you happen to know?
Oh, yes. I remember we talked about it at the time because he'd been turned down by the army and felt he was out of the war. It wasn't true, really, because he was sent to plenty of danger spots by his newspaper, both during the war and since. As far as I know, he used to see his doctor about this blood pressure thing. But there wasn't much he could do, and Peter felt all right, so he didn't bother to go to him after a bit.
Yes, I'm afraid that would have been true in 1944 or 45. It's only in the past 10 to 15 years that drugs have been developed to help us in controlling this condition.
Oh, then there is something that can be done for my husband?
Mrs. Morris, I feel sure there is. You see, we have two jobs on our hands. To get your husband safely over the effects of the stroke. That, of course, will take time, rest and patience. And then we can work out, by trial methods, the best way to deal with the hypertension.
By getting my husband over the effects of the stroke, does that mean he'll be able to walk again? To get back the use of his arm and leg?
Physically, Mr. Morris is in very, very good shape. If he were 20 years older, I couldn't be so happy about the possibilities of his recovering completely. But I've seen many patients with a similar affliction to his return to a normal functional state.
What will it involve, Dr. Hoffman?
Well, rest and treatment, as I've already said. And we have a considerable rehabilitation section where your husband's limbs can be restored to normal movement. Then we'll get busy on controlling his blood pressure, which will be necessary to avoid a recurrence of his condition.
This will take quite a while, I imagine.
Several months, I expect, Mrs. Morris. Tell me, will that make it difficult for you financially?
No, Dr. Hoffman.
Oh, good.
Peter's newspaper will keep him on full pay and then half pay for quite a long time, so money won't be any worry. My only concern is Peter's eventual recovery, however long it takes.
Of course, Mrs. Morris, but I'm sure it'll be a comfort to you to know that your husband, well, he'll be in the hands of Dr. Ian Reed. He's a specialist on cardiovascular diseases. Don't worry. Everything possible will be done for him.
Good morning, Mr. Morris. That's good. You're walking better every day.
Hello, Dr. Reed. It's a bit of an effort, but it's worth it.
And how do you feel otherwise?
I must admire your patience, Doctor. You've asked me that every day for the past 2 weeks.
Only you can tell us what effect the various combinations of drugs that we have to use to reduce the hypertension are having.
What are you giving me at the moment?
Do you really want to know, Mr. Morris?
I try to add to my education as I go along. Well, I suppose my news hound's nose has something to do with it as well.
And I fancy you're the type of patient who won't be frightened and will respond better when he knows what's going on. Well, Mr. Morris, your condition is of quite long duration. We've found that the use of thiazide diuretic isn't sufficient to relieve your hypertension on its own.
Now you've left me behind with your scientific names already.
It's fairly simple. A diuretic has the effect of, washing excess salts and fluids from the body. And this can sometimes control lesser cases of blood pressure.
So, what do you do now?
We've already taken the next step. In addition to the diuretic, you're getting a synthetic version of guanethidine, a drug that reduces the release of a powerful hormone into the bloodstream.
A hormone that did what? I mean, what does it do?
Well, it closes up the blood vessels and makes the heart pump harder to raise the blood pressure throughout the body.
So, by getting rid of unwanted fluids and salt and restricting the supply of stuff that makes my blood vessels close up, you hope to make my blood pressure normal.
Well, that's the theoretical side of it. Now, how do you feel?
All right when I'm sitting down, but I've got a tendency to feel dizzy when I stand up. Oh, and I'm pretty weak, too.
It looks as if the diuretic is getting rid of the potassium that you need. We'll add potassium chloride to your diet and see how you get along then. Nurse tells me you've got some problem, Mr. Morris. How do you feel?
I'm a bit short of puff now, Dr. Reed. My legs and arm are fine, and I could get about fairly normally, but as soon as I'm active, my chest feels as if it's caught a light. Now, at this rate, I'll soon be a goner.
No, you won't, Mr. Morris. I think I know what to do for that.
But is it any good, Doctor? I've been in here for some months already, and it seems as soon as we get one thing right, something else goes wrong.
What we've got to achieve, Mr. Morris, is an ideal balance of drugs that will correct your original condition of severe hypertension and then deal with each of the side effects as they arise. And we'll manage it, don't you worry.
Well, Doctor, what are you going to use as a fire extinguisher this time?
We'll give you a daily dose of digitalis to make it easier for your heart to pump blood. And that should take away the burning sensation in your chest. And you'll find that reasonable exertion doesn't wind you.
And you really feel that with all this juggling about, you'll find a complete solution to my condition?
Oh, I'm sure of it. I think your present condition is quite an achievement, don't you?
Yeah. Sorry, Doctor. I suppose I'm overlooking the fact that when I came in here, I was partly paralyzed and in a chronic state with my blood pressure. Well, now at least I'm on my feet.
And we've brought your blood pressure readings down to a more normal figure.
Yeah, that doesn't mean I'm cured.
Not in the sense that without the correct dosage of drugs we're trying to achieve, it wouldn't recur. Because I'm afraid it would. But we will be able to control it and avoid its, well, its serious consequences. Now, that's something that wasn't possible when you were first told of your condition.
Yes, but will it be a solution that will enable me to do any of the things in my work and in my spare time that I did before, when I was working under pressure?
It seems you were working under pressure in two senses, one of which your hypertension certainly wasn't good for you.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And it won't be cured.
No, Mr. Morris. But we'll arrive at an adequate treatment to keep it under control. And that treatment must enable you to lead an ordinary sort of life if it's to be really successful. After all, we're not only here to keep you alive, but to help you to live.
Well, I think this is a happy conclusion to the time you've spent with us, Mr. Morris.
Dr. Hoffman, you and Dr. Reed here have really done so much for me. I don't know how to thank you.
You don't have to thank us. It always gives us a particular pleasure to be able to discharge a patient after a successful course of treatment.
I think that Mr. Morris deserves the excellent recovery that he's made. He certainly has been very patient.
I've been a patient, not always a very good one. Betty, that's my wife, she's helped a lot in listening to my complaints.
Well, anybody who's not well complains a bit. Isn't that fair, Dr. Hoffman?
Very true, Mrs. Morris. In fact, I'm one of the world's worst.
Well, that I don't believe.
All the same, Mr. Morris, with regard to yourself, you experienced and overcame quite a number of unpleasant effects. But how do you feel now?
Still the same old question, Dr. Reed. Do you know, I feel quite normal. Almost as if I could really get back into the thick of things again.
That's what we were hoping to hear, Mr. Morris. But in view of the slight weakness shown by the stroke, we would ask you not to overdo it for a while.
Oh, no. No, of course not, Dr. Hoffman.
Although I imagine it's going to be difficult trying to restrain him.
Well, Mr. Morris, just remember what I said about living a normal life and do just that. I shall be very happy if you resume your usual activities.
Continuing with your treatment, of course.
Oh, of course.
Which is why I wanted to work with you in conjunction with Dr. Reed, who has worked it out for you, as you know. Now, for the past 2 weeks, you've been getting about the hospital without any apparent distress. And your blood pressure readings are that of a normal person.
Yes. It's been quite amazing, actually.
It's been really gratifying. And you've had no unusual reaction of any kind?
No, none.
Good. Now, we've established your dosage of guanethidine, diuretic, potassium chloride, and digitalis at 10 assorted pills a day. Now, you will take them regularly. It's most important.
I'll take them, Dr. Hoffman. Wherever I am, I'll take them. Are they going to be expensive?
Fortunately not, Mr. Morris.
Oh, then I get a bit of a bonus as well, don't I? New health without paying the earth for it. Oh, but there's one thing I'd like to ask you about this hypertension of mine.
Well, certainly. If there's anything we can tell you.
Well, what's led to all this in the first place? Why have I got this complaint?
Shall I leave that explanation to you, Ian?
I wish you wouldn't, Dr. Hoffman. Because I have to confess to our patient that, well, I don't really know. Do you know whether your parents suffered from high blood pressure, Mr. Morris?
The old man used to go a bit purple at times when he was angry, but well, both he and my mother are still going strong in their late 60s.
You see, it's thought that heredity may have something to do with it. But I'm afraid we can't put our finger on any one simple cause.
Well, I've learned a lot since I've been in hospital. And one of the things is that you never give up trying. Oh, you'll get hypertension by the leg for sure, one of these days.
I admit it's a bit extreme for Morris to want to do this, Melvin. But I don't think we can do anything other than agree.
How long has it been now since he left the hospital, Ian?
Nearly a year. He came along each month for 6 months, and I've seen him once since, when I made a very slight adjustment to his dosage of digitalis.
Otherwise, everything was quite normal.
Oh, yes, I was very pleased with him.
Well, then, he'd better carry on, wouldn't you say?
I did tell him that we expected him to be able to follow a normal life once we had his hypertension under control.
Well, let's see. He was 210, 130 when he came in after stroke. Now he's a consistent 75 points below that.
Very steady.
Well, he must ensure he takes an adequate supply of drugs with him. You can't depend upon the medical aid organizations.
I haven't stressed that point with him.
All right, then. I wouldn't recommend news reporting in the Congo at the height of a civil war as the ideal rescuer, but, well, if he wants to go, he can go with our blessing.
Yeah, things seem to be a bit busy this afternoon, Peter.
Oh, I've known it worse, Jim.
So have I. That's what bothers me. I reckon it's going to get worse later.
No, I can't help that. I've got to get this report finished and cabled up. Is the line still open?
Well, it was this morning. If you get it finished off, I'll cable it for you. I'm going over to the cable office.
Well, thanks. That'll be a big help. I won't be very long, and I'll give it to you. It'll save me a bit of a walk. What time is it, Jim?
2:30. And it's stifling with the sun at this altitude. Oh, I could do with a drink.
Yeah, so could I. It's pill time. With 10 of these to get down me, I could do with a nice glass of fresh, cold, clear water.
So could the rest of Stanleyville. The only place you can get trustworthy liquid of any sort is in the bar. And then it's stronger than water. Yeah, what are the pills for, anyway?
Blood pressure. Condition I found I had when I tried to get into the army in the last war. I blew up about a year back, but since then I've been on these little jokers and I've been okay. Touch wood.
Oh, that's all you have? You seem to have finished them.
Yeah, Jim. Well, I can't carve a ton of pills around in my pocket. I've got the others up in the bedroom. I get so used to them now, I can swallow them without any liquid, so long as my mouth isn't too dry.
Oh, which mine is. Well, I'll see what the bar has to offer while you finish off that cable. And give me a shout when you finish, and I'll take it across the way.
Stanleyville is increasing daily. It will only be a matter of time before the town is overrun by opposing forces.
Hello, Peter. Finished?
Yes, I think that about sums it up. Are you going straight away?
Oh, I'd better. I can't say just how much longer the telegraph lines are remaining intact. Hello? The excitement has died down for a bit. I wonder why that is.
I don't know. But it's not the end of the war. Not if what I've written in my cable is correct.
Well, you don't believe what you read in those dispatches, do you?
Oh, well, I'll be off while there's a lull. See you in a little while. Can you hear aircraft, Jim?
What?
Aircraft. Can you see them?
Oh. Can hear them, though.
Hey, Jim! It's an air raid. Run for it! Now, oh, heck, I can't see anything but dust. Well, I'm looking at last bomb got Jim. Jim! Hey, Jim! Jim! Jim, are you all right?
Shut up.
Oh, I thought they got you.
No, they hadn't. But it wasn't for the want of trying. I've got a picket fence lying on my leg.
Oh, yeah. I'll drag it off you. Oh. Lift it up.
Hey, steady, Peter. Don't strain yourself and blow a gusset.
Okay. Can you get out from underneath?
Yeah. But here they come again.
Hey, you shower! Can't you see we're not in uniform? Swanson, get your fool head down or you'll have it blown off.
Well, I've got to tell them what I think of them.
Strictly non-combatant, that's us.
I need to wait until I write to my
public support. The public aren't interested in our troubles. We're paid to do this sort of thing.
What? Lying the bottom of a dirty big bunnel, stinking of cordite, or whatever it smells of.
Yeah, that's right. And to think that I once wanted to join the army.
Well, that medico who set the pressure gauge in your arm and told you that the enemy needed men like you, did you a favor?
Yeah, I didn't think so at the time. But this sort of thing lends conviction. And I needn't have bothered to finish off that report after all.
Why not?
The connection's broken now anyway. They got the cable office. I suppose that's what they were after.
I mean, I can't say much for their aim. Look in the other direction. They got the hotel as well.
Oh, heck, so they have. It's well and truly on fire, too.
Oh, there's no mains water pressure here to put out that blaze.
Not likely.
Yeah, I'll bet. They'll have mangled up your typewriter, something cruel.
It isn't my typewriter I'm bothered about. I can always use a pen, but my entire supply of pills has just gone up in smoke.
Oh, dear. Well, how often do you have to take that lot? Every day?
That's right. Haven't missed since I left hospital.
Oh, well, it's the lesser of two evils. It was either your pills or you. And while there's life, there's hope.
You're right. Hey, Jim, this isn't a bad bomb you found.
There's a halfway house between a burning hotel and a wrecked telegraph office. It's not too bad, is it, Peter?
No. Yeah, and I'm really sorry for you having to live in it until you can get proper quarters fixed up.
Why only sorry for me? You're in the same bomb.
Yeah, I won't be for long. I've got medical reasons for being repatriated sharpish, huh? I'll be on the evening flight out.
Huh. And you wanted to join the army. Well, no wonder they wouldn't have you.
I read your report of the bombing of Stanleyville, Mr. Morris. You seem to have had an exciting time while you were there.
It had its moments, Dr. Reed. To tell you the truth, I wasn't sorry to leave.
I'm sure you weren't. Now, how long were you without the pills? From the time you were nearly blown up until when?
Oh, it was about 3 days altogether.
And how are you feeling?
Still the same old question, Doctor. I feel all right. But how's my blood pressure?
Very slightly high. If you weren't the sort of patient who likes to know the truth, I wouldn't even bother to mention it to you.
Oh, it's good then. But it hasn't gone haywire again. I was a bit concerned, but what can you do? If you haven't got the things to take, you have to put up with it.
Now, you've been leading a far more active life than I ever thought would have been possible when you first came to
me. Well, Doctor, this Congo business was overdoing it a bit, even as far as I was concerned.
But you coped.
I coped. Thanks to you.
And many others who worked on the things I gave you. But how did you feel when you were under bombardment?
Frightened to death.
Physically, I meant. Not mentally.
Okay. No drama.
And you exerted yourself quite a bit, I fancy. Running and so on?
Oh, a couple of short, sharp sprints. More in self-preservation than anything else. Lifting a bit of weight now and then. But I didn't notice anything to worry about.
Then I think that's all we need bother about you, Mr. Morris. I fancy you'd pass an army medical now if you wanted to. At least from the hypertension point of view.
Then I'd have to find some other reason for not getting into khaki.
Well, of course, all that took place some years ago. And Peter Morris is not the only hypertension sufferer who's been given new life and new hope through proper medication for his condition. Many hundreds of thousands of others have benefited in the same way. But remember, 20 years ago, this would not have been possible.
Medical File, the documented story of the men and women who in hospitals, research centers, and lonely surgeries guard our lives. Listen again next week for another true story from Medical File.